reports direct from Melbourne courtside and from our offices in New York City. It's the Australian Open edition of the Tennis.com podcast. And here's your host, Ed McGrogan.
Hey everyone, Australian Open podcast day four. I'm Ed McGrogan here talking with Steve Tigner down in Australia. The second round just wrapped up, and one of the last matches to happen there was Andy Roddick going out to Leighton Hewitt by retirement after three sets. Roddick won the second set, lost the first and third, and then called it quits there. It would have been a huge result, I think, under normal circumstances, considering the location we're in Australia and the history between these two. But this match, as anybody who watched it on TV saw, just lost a lot after Roddick's injury was recognized early in the match there. And, it kind of definitely brought the vibe down a little bit. What did you see in that one, Steve, from watching it yourself?
I was actually enjoying the match more than I had thought I would. I've seen these guys play a lot of times, and they play a pretty basic brand of tennis. Obviously it's good, but it's not flashy. Neither of these guys are flashy players. They played a really great match, I thought, a couple years ago at Wimbledon, five-setter. But I was, on this slow court, I was sort of expecting there'd been a lot of fairly bland baseline matches at night here. The court really slows down and it's hard to do much, so I was expecting some of that. But these guys played, even when Roddick was hurt, I thought some pretty entertaining side-to-side baseline tennis. Really started at the beginning of the second set when Hewitt decided, even before Roddick was hurt, Hewitt decided he was going to be more aggressive. And he was more aggressive than you really normally see him. He stepped forward on his backhand and he started to follow the ball, sort of follow normal ground stroke, sort of ghost into the net behind them. You rarely see that from him. And I was impressed by the way he held his nerve and stuck to his game plan and really played more consistently once Roddick was hurt. I think that's hard to do. You see a lot of people immediately start to miss and get nervous, get tight because they know they should win the match suddenly, but Hewitt didn't do that. And Hewitt just said in his press conference that he was happy with that. He considered it one of the better matches of his career from a mental standpoint, just that he could stick with that. But of course, otherwise Roddick was hurt. He still hung in, had three break points at 4-5 in the third, and only lost that game on a ball that bounced twice on the net and dropped over. Pretty cruel evening for Roddick in general.
Yeah, that was one of the. That set point reminded me, I think, of how I think it was Federer beat Ljubicic to win Indian Wells one year on a shot, something like that. Very strange way to take it. And we talk about how Hewitt is really limping to the end of his career, whenever that is. This is just kind of the latest setback for Roddick, who he won a slam way back and then has always been trying to get another one since. He was basically had it in his grasp at Wimbledon in 2009. But ever since then, it's been kind of really a series of little, little setbacks, like I said, that just keep popping up. And really, it just doesn't look very promising if you're ever still holding out hope, like Pete Bodo is, that Andy Roddick will win that second slam.
It's too bad. It's too bad for Roddick, especially because he felt like last year, last winter, he overtrained, and then he got injured, and he this year he decided that he couldn't train the way he used to maybe 5 years ago, so he cut it back, and so he thought he was training smarter, and it still ends up getting injured.
Yeah, earlier in the day there were no look. We were looking at the results here. Looking back on this day, there were no huge upsets that I would say, but some very close calls. On the men's side, there was David Ferrer nearly went out early to Ryan Sweeting, an American. That would have been a very big result there, even though Ferrer doesn't have the big cachet of the top four guys, still a highly, highly ranked player. And then the more noticeable one was Petra Kvitova, who was down was in the third set down a break and really kind of looked like she lost her way for a long time against Carla Suarez Navarro, who upset Venus Williams here years ago. But as quickly as she got down in that match, she kind of turned it around and saved face in three sets.
Yeah, that was, not quite sure what to make of that match right now. Does it show that like we thought, she can really go off still? Or does it show that now she can fight back from that? I guess it shows both. And the positive side is that when she went down 2-0 and she was nearly down 3-0, it really looked like she was going to go out. And it was the type of performance that we've seen her, lose with before, just basically missing everything, and she never gets it back. This time, she slowed down. She really, fought a little harder. She made her first serves. You can see that when she was down love 30 in one of the games early in the third set, she really slowed down and played point by point. Maybe she has that sense now that she should be winning these matches. She said afterwards that being the favorite in matches is still new to her. Being number two in the world is still new, something she has to get used to, something she's still, maybe she's just, this kind of match maybe showed that she has a little of that sense of, like, I should be winning these matches. I can't really give these away anymore.
Right, just can't afford to at this point. The other top players, for the most part, took care of business. You had Serena winning in straights on Laver. Before that, Sharapova lost just one game in her win. That was pretty impressive, regardless of her opponent, because of how she's still serving. Then you had Djokovic cleaning up after those two in straight sets. So those matches were pretty cut and dry. As for the rest of the day, what did you see around the grounds there walking around that caught your eye?
I saw some of that Ferrer match, and Sweden played well for a while, really hit big, but just couldn't quite keep it up. Ferrer hung in. I saw some of Monfi against Bellucci out on Margaret Court Arena. Unfortunately, that's going to be the last men's singles match. I think there's one women's singles scheduled for that court tomorrow. That's the end of the singles on that court.
Yeah, it was just like you said, that it's one of the, it's either Monfils or Sanga. They alternate, and that was against Bellucci, and it looked really good on TV coming through over here for sure.
Yeah, I watched the first two sets. I felt like Monfils, if I didn't know better, I think he intentionally tanked this first set just to make it a longer and more enjoyable for everybody. Because he didn't try in the first set, and he came out in the second set and wiped the floor with Bellucci 6-0. I feel like he just wanted to get into the mood of the arena, because there was a good crowd and a good scene out there. I also watched some of Murray. He looked like he'd much more relaxed this time. He and Lendl much more relaxed than they were in the first match. And I saw a little of, Sabine Lisicki look good, Raonic look good, and I watched a little of Tipsarevic struggle, but eventually pull out a match over a local kid, James Duckworth. So, yeah, pretty much by the book today.
And a little bird told me you also saw the Vanya King Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova match. And it was a book you couldn't put down, except you did. And so why don't you get that? And what'd you see there?
Right, that little bird was correct. I did watch some of that match and got a sunburn. Pavlyuchenkova she couldn't win. She has the bigger shots. Vanya King has gotten a lot better. Her career seemed to be stalled. She became almost like a mixed double specialist. Now she's in the third round, and she can hang with these people. Pavlyuchenkova is ranked 15th in the world and has a bigger game, but it didn't look like that in this match. Maybe this court is somewhat of an equalizer, but a good result from an American who, we hadn't written off, but had, isn't somebody that we talk about a lot.
Yeah, as for Americans, I think we will be talking about a little bit. I watched a lot of the Sloane Stephens Kuznetsova match, and Stephens went down there in straight sets, but I mean, really some impressive stuff if you're looking for a player to watch down the road. Just such impressive strokes from just a young woman there, and I think we'll be seeing a lot more of her in the next couple of years. So
yeah, good game, good athlete. Also, I like her attitude. She seems to be not in awe of the other pros, but without being ridiculous.
Deferential, really.
Yeah, but she's, you know, she plays it like, you know, she competes well, I think.
Right. Yeah, and you know, speaking of mixed doubles, the partnership of Serena and Andy Roddick, which was to be, I think you can pretty much throw out the window right now with Roddick's result, in case any of you were looking forward to that. So we'll be back with day five, the start of the third round tomorrow. For Steve Tigner, I'm Edmund Rogan. Thanks for listening.
You've been enjoying Tennis.com's weekly podcast. Thanks for listening. For all the latest news and events, head over to Tennis.com.